Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out, where I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge of health, beauty, and wellness, as well as interview pioneers within the industry on a variety of topics. I am your host, Kimberly Snyder. I love to discuss topics that are on my mind and in my heart. So joining me in the conversation every week is my dear friend, Tony, or as I like to call him, T. Tony was my co-host on my previous podcast, and he's back to join me for these topical weekly segments. Hey, T, how's your week going up in San Francisco?
It is rainy, but good.
Rainy, but good. Yeah, we talk about this a lot. I love San Francisco, but the weather, I think that LA and Florida are more my speed.
Yeah, that's one reason why I think I'm going to be shifting down soon.
Oh, good. The other reason is, of course, to be close to me.
Of course. That's the number one reason. Bubby. Yeah, that's the number one and number two reasons.
Bubby misses Uncle T. So, T, today we have a very interesting topic about mitochondria. And most of us haven't thought of mitochondria or really talked about it probably since high school biology class. But if you guys will recall that our mitochondria are sort of known as the powerhouse of our cells. And I remember, T, like I can even picture in my mind now those biology textbooks with like the mitochondria, and there'd be like lightning flashes and kind of like this symbolism around them to show like they are really powerful parts of your cells. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like, just like the way that the text
ATP.
Was drawn.
Yeah. ATP was like almost like a whole chapter of biology.
ATP and So like the Punnett squares, like so much of that was, I love those classes. I think it's great. But again, back to our topic today about maximizing our mitochondria, how to help with, supporting our mitochondria, because our mitochondria can become depleted through pollution, through poor sleep, unhealthy food, through lifestyle. And this contributes to accelerated aging, right? And inflammation. So first of all, T, can you tell us a little bit about mitochondria in general, the energy factories of our cells? Any sort of basic information without getting too sciencey on us?
Yeah, well, you're right. Like, on a basic level, it's like cellular energy, and and so they really do dictate, just on a practical level, like health of our mitochondria dictate how we feel, how much energy we feel, how healthy and vigorous we feel, and some cells have more mitochondria than others. So like our brain has a high concentration of mitochondria. The heart does. Muscle also has high mitochondria. So by improving our mitochondria health, we really improve like the organs that play a significant role in our performance, like how sharp we think, how quickly our brain ages, how strong our heart, cardiovascular health is, how healthy our muscles stay and metabolism and all these things. So it is a really significant aspect of health, actually.
So how can we support our mitochondria versus general cellular health?
Yeah, that is a good question. And I think the good news is, so much of what is everything that's recommended in Beauty Detox is really, positive for mitochondria. Like, the biggest kind of core advice for mitochondria is to stop doing, cut out toxic or inflammatory things, pollutants, inflammatory foods like gluten, rancid, like omega-6 oils, hormones and meat, pesticides and produce, those kinds of things, because when the cells are inflamed, their mitochondrial capacity is going to be weakened. So that's the, obviously, and Beauty Detox is very much about, reducing the inflow of toxicity. Nobody's perfect, but reducing the inflow of toxicity and inflammation. And then the second part would be doing things and providing either, lifestyle or nutritional support that has been proven to improve mitochondrial health.
Okay, T, I love what you're saying. I'm listening to T. Bubby's having a little temper tantrum. So can we say, though, you know, like you mentioned, there's specific research about supporting mitochondrial health. Can we give some specific tips or specific practices which would be great for mitochondria?
Yes. Yes, definitely. So some of the things that we link to in the show notes, I've already mentioned inflammation. There's been studied correlations between increased inflammation and reduced mitochondrial health. So that's one that we've already mentioned. Sleep also plays a really significant role in
back to sleep.
Yeah, so I know. Oh, it's yeah. And low. Yeah. So either not getting sufficient sleep, not getting, you know, quality, like with light, you know, light, too much blue light before you sleep, all that kind of stuff that we've talked about elsewhere in the blog and a bunch of other places. So sleep hygiene
plays a role. And also in Radical Beauty, the whole pillar three, the whole section on sleep.
Yes.
There's a lot of research and information.
Totally. And then the intermittent fasting is another one, or doing what you already recommend, where Glow and Green Smoothie, just, you know, reducing calories over a specific period of time, but getting still a lot of nutrition and filling fiber and water and like, you know, hot water with lemon and all those things. Like, that's really, really powerful for mitochondrial health, because that in that break, in that space, you get like energetic restoration, but then you're also getting nutritional support versus just doing, like, if you're only getting water. So I think the GGS morning protocol.
Oh, yes. Hot water with lemon, SBO probiotics, GGS. It's a big transition for people, too, because a lot of us are used to having heavy breakfasts, but there's so much research backing up keeping your mornings light and easy for digestion. And this is just another example by really supporting your mitochondria, which is great for anti-aging. It just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Omega-3s, you know, obviously I think plant-based omega-3s especially, because they're less likely to be tainted or rancid or have mercury or anything else. And then that helps counteract also. So not only is that important for supporting the cells, but then also kind of helps counteract the inflammatory effect of too much omega-6 and that imbalance.
Mm-hmm. Balancing your EFA ratio, your essential fatty acid ratio.
Yeah, exactly. And then exercise-wise, high intensity, you know, like intermittent, like, you know, doing bursts of higher intensity exercise. Obviously, though, not to the point where you're really stressing out your nervous system, because then that would, like, counteract the effects. So not like CrossFit, where you're doing so many explosive things that, like, you're frying your adrenals, but more like within your range that isn't too exhausting for you. You know, if you can do fast swimming or fast walking or something that.
Oh, really? Like, I don't do any of that, T.
Yeah.
I just do steady yoga, steady walking. That's one thing that I definitely don't do. Do you think that's really important?
Well, there's a good amount of research, including a study we leaked to about that, around mitochondrial health. So
work it in is what you're saying.
Yeah. If you can work it in at least once in a while, like for somebody like you, even if it's just like once a week or even, you know, once a few times a month or something, nothing crazy. I think you're already healthy and you're already getting a lot from yoga and walking. Or just doing, you know, a high intensity thing here and there to just like tap into that dimension of your physiology. And then another like really doable tip is sulfur rich food, because we've talked about this. We talked about this on the jet lag circadian rhythm one, is that sulfur rich foods help the body produce glutathione, you know, glutathione, which is like this master antioxidant, and that will help reduce some of the inflammation that can, you know, that will aid us in kind of preserving our mitochondrial strength and health.
So, okay. See, so sulfur rich foods, we know broccoli, even onions and garlic, asparagus are some that come to top of mind. Are there other ones you recommend?
Cabbage is really good. So, you know, we kind of both, we've kind of got away from onions and garlic, but those are really good ones if you're not. But I think, yeah, like cabbage.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole podcast on why we don't eat onions and garlic, you guys will have to check out. So we don't go into this whole topic, but yeah. Tony and I are officially onions and garlic free right now, which is pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And I really like that. But yeah, so like broccoli, cauliflower, cauliflower, I even had Whole Foods now sells like riced cauliflower in frozen form.
So you can, riced?
Yeah. Like cauliflower that's like it's basically chopped up into like rice like particles.
And I've made cauliflower rice as a recipe. I made it for LA Yoga as a new recipe last year in my food processor.
You can make it. Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I'm just saying it's like even more convenient. Even you can get cauliflower. Brussels sprouts is another really good one. It's really high in sulfur. So ones like things like that are really, really good. And you do those things, and especially the sleep. I think sleep is just like the one that I constantly like don't prioritize enough. And
it's so hard. There's so many hours in a day.
I know. So that for me, I know that was like one of my biggest takeaways in doing that research. If I just get, the 7 to 8 quality hours.
I had to tell you guys this story because it is true until you stayed with me. I really don't watch a lot of TV at all. Sometimes we have to watch some movies or premieres for work, or go to premieres for work or whatever. But I don't really choose to watch a lot of stuff. But somehow I got sucked into watching, I don't know if you've seen it, T. It's this like 7 hour long O.J. Simpson documentary.
Oh, yes.
Oh my God. I'm not used to watching things. This was so graphic that last night I couldn't sleep for hours after seeing this, and it really messed up my sleep. And I was so mad at myself. Of course, I forgave myself, but I was mad at myself. Like, why am I watching this stuff? And it is fun sometimes to watch things. It's definitely like, it gives you that feeling, but gosh, you have to be careful about watching stuff close to bedtime because it can really rile you up.
Totally. I've experienced that so much. Or just like stayed, I don't know.
Did you watch it? Have you seen this documentary?
Yeah.
It's so intense. I'm talking about the long one, the America Made one.
Yeah, exactly.
You've seen the whole thing?
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen parts of it. I know what you're talking about.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's too much for me.
I know.
But again, back to sleep, we talk about a lot of tips and on the blog, we'll link to some different articles in Radical Beauty. There's foods that help with sleep. There's practices, evening practice, blue lights, like we mentioned, avoiding avoiding violent films and documentaries before bed is also a good idea.
Yes. and that's mostly it. There are some supplements that people talk about, but we don't, I didn't want to really bring that in. Like if it is someone wants to do their own thing, we really want to avoid this idea that you have to take a bunch of expensive or esoteric. Cause like when you start getting into supplements for mitochondria, it's like, where do you go? Like you can start taking it for, everything, like every part of your body and every aspect of your health. And it just gets too crazy. So, there are some out there, but I think it's better to just focus on the lifestyle foundation that we went through here.
Exactly. The lifestyle foundation and, know that you are really nourishing your cells, including your mitochondria, and doing the best thing for your long-term health and your energy and your beauty. And we will link to specific research on mitochondria, more facts about mitochondria. If you guys want to check out the show notes, cause I definitely think it's interesting. It's good information to know. So thank you so much, T, for this fascinating topic and this great conversation. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll be right back after the break. Unlike some probiotic formulas, which are isolated friendly species that have been removed from their natural environment, our SBO probiotics are totally natural and work together to help bring your gut flora back into balance. The best way to ensure that you never miss a month and therefore never miss out on less bloating, boosting your energy, and many other benefits, please check out our discounted subscription membership. Sign up for your subscription today at shop.kimberlysnyder.com. Hey, beauties, and welcome back for a very special interview I have for you today. I'm here with Ryan Black, who's the co-founder and CEO of Sambazon, which is the acai company that I love. I'm obsessed with, I've been using and consuming for years and years and years. So I'm so excited to have Ryan with us today on the podcast. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Kimberly. So great to be here.
So great to have you, Ryan. As I just mentioned, I got into acai in New York after backpacking, and everybody in my yoga studio was drinking these amazing acai packets. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into acai, Ryan? I understand you were on a surf trip in Brazil. It sounds amazing and so fascinating.
Yeah, it was really great, actually. I went to Brazil. I was dating a Brazilian girl and went to Brazil for the millennium. I just heard so much about Brazil and the beauty of it and the mystery of it all. And so I went down there with my co-founder, Ed Nichols, and my girlfriend, and we're actually surfing in the north in a little city called Porto de Galinhas near Recife. And after a surf, one of the guys said, hey, let's go over here to this little like beach hut shack thing and have an acai bowl. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know what it was. And they had, they served it to me. Remember, it took a long time for them to make it. But when it came out, it was this beautiful, purple, potion, if you will, with bananas on it and a little bit of granola. And I ate it and just, it's really light on your stomach. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also very refreshing. So it's almost like a healthy ice cream. It's like to eat that after a workout. It just replenishes you and makes you feel good. So I was like, wow, post surf, feeling good. And, it's not always easy to find, when you're in foreign countries, it's not always easy to find something that you go, oh, wow, I really like that. I want to eat that again.
It can be tough traveling.
So I remember in the days that passed, we were like, oh, let's go have another one of those acai bowls sort of thing. And it was interesting because it wasn't like, oh yeah, okay, go down here, we'll get it. It was like, well, let me think. There's only specific places in the city where you can go get it. And that was a little interesting that it just wasn't everywhere. So I knew, I learned a lot more after that, but in the beginning it was quite new.
So Ryan, acai bowls became this trend in Brazil. Before that, how were they consuming the acai? Were they just having it, were they just picking it and eating it plain, or how were they consuming it, the Brazilians?
So acai is a little berry about the size of a blueberry that grows high on a palm tree in the Amazon rainforest.
And that's the only place it grows, right?
It's the only place it grows. There's, the Amazon's a big place, but it's mainly in the Brazilian Amazon. And there's just a little bit of it along the riverbanks and other parts of the Amazon rainforest. And while it's the size of a blueberry, it's like 95% solid pit. It's a big seed, which we make, beautiful jewelry and stuff like that. But anyway, so it's not something that you would like plop into your mouth. It'd be like putting a marble in your mouth or something. You don't do that. What they do in the Amazon is they soak it in water and then they basically pass it over almost like a cheese grater that takes just the thin layer of skin like a grape skin and the thin layer of fat that's green that looks like avocado and then mix it with water, and that is acai puree. The Amazon, they eat that puree at room temperature with fish and with meat and with sometimes a little bit of sugar and tapioca and things like that. But it's really sort of more like an applesaucy traditional thing that you'd eat. It was only in the 90s that some professional athletes that do a sport called Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which has become famous in the world, but in the 90s and 2000s, it wasn't that famous yet. And those guys are the ones who brought it from the Amazon down to Rio de Janeiro. And they're, the jiu-jitsu guys or the surfers, same guys. And so they started making it this frozen to bring it from the Amazon to Rio. They had to freeze it. And then they started mixing it with different stuff and came up with this, what we call an acai bowl today, which is really a mix of frozen acai puree together with some sweetener, some sugar, bananas, granola, or whatever. And that's what I experienced the first time I had it in Brazil. And that's really what has taken hold all across the world.
And it's important to note, as you mentioned, Ryan, that we're a lot of people mix some type of sweetener or banana because acai is naturally sugar free, right? Which is so interesting because it's so high in antioxidants. As you mentioned, there's that amazing fat. It's got omega fatty acids, which are so great for our skin, great for our hair, great for our circulation. And it doesn't have all this sugar. So it's really a unique soup. It's a really unique, as I call, super beauty food as well.
Yeah, it really is. To find something that's that nutrient dense from a healthy fats perspective and a little bit of protein and a bunch of iron and things like that. And then to have no sugar, like zero sugar, that's what kind of blew my mind a little bit. And I went, wow, like this is
special.
this really is the definition of a superfood.
And the color from all the antioxidants, as you mentioned, to get it here, frozen packets are the best way because it's harvested when it's ripe and we can get it here. But the antioxidants are intact and it's so much more potent than eating any fruit we could get here, even blueberries, which have been credited with a high antioxidant value. Acai like blows it out of the water. Which is so important for, again, skin, health, aging all around, our energy. It's amazing that we can access this food, which comes from the middle of the Amazon.
It really is. And it's amazing something like this has gone unknown. Even in Brazil, it wasn't really known for all this time until the 90s. Only the people that live kind of up in the Amazon rainforest have known about it. So it's just something that's, over the last like 20 years, sort of come out of the forest.
So the first thing, when I started eating it and I heard it's from the Amazon, the first thing that crosses my mind and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure as well, is, well, how are you able to harvest it and make sure that we're protecting the Amazon? And I know, Ryan, that you are a staunch environmentalist and you use lots of organic practices and fair trade practices. Can you talk a little bit about how Sambazon protects the Amazon? And also, have you had to plant a ton more outside trees since demand has gone up, or how has that worked?
Yeah, so this is really kind of the coolest part about it all is that after I sort of fell in love with the product and wanted to eat again because it made me feel good, and I was a professional athlete in my previous life.
Were you? You know that?
Oh, you didn't? Yeah.
What were you?
I was a football player. I played 18 years of football. Including I was a Colorado Buffalo. I was a Minnesota Viking for a little bit.
Were you really? Oh my gosh. I actually had no idea. I was just, I knew you were a surfer and I kind of thought you were always a surfer.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. But anyway, so, my university of going to the University of Colorado at Boulder, that's where I learned about organics and social justice and environmentalism, all these things. So coming with sort of half of a jock, was never really a jock, but I played sports. I was kind of half of a jock and half of a hippie environmentalist. And so
it's a nice mix. I like that combination.
Yeah, for me to run into acai, at first I was really impressed by the product itself, right? Because from an athletic perspective, this is what we need. We need healthy fats, we need protein, we need fiber,
vitamins, antioxidants, all of it.
Yeah, these things, they're going to help us. If you're going to go train or you're going to go do, a workout or a triathlon or any of these things, your body, you need energy, and not the kind of energy you're going to get from a Red Bull or from coffee. You need energy for your body, right? And that's what acai provides. So I was really impressed by that first. But then when I went to the Amazon, that's when the real interesting part started, because what I learned was that as acai had become popular in the 90s, all of a sudden the people in the rainforest had like this purple gold on their hands in some ways, mm-hmm. And Further, what I learned was that acai is actually wild harvested. So this isn't some big farm or some plantation or some big agribusiness. This is actually a plant that grows in the wild, you know, over the course of, you know, millions and millions of acres of pristine Amazon rainforest. And I said to myself, wow. So, and then I looked at the tree. Looks like a telephone pole. I mean, it's really thin and it's really tall. And I said to myself, wow. And you literally have to manually climb the tree to get the berries. And then when I saw the berries, that they were so small and that there was such little amount of, you know, product or yield that could be derived from one of those little berries, I said to myself, oh my gosh, like if I can make this acai a household word, it's going to turn into literally millions of jobs in the Amazon rainforest, where you have some of the highest level of poverty in the world. Mm-hmm. And number two, we could, you know, implement some sustainable forest management programs using the wisdom of the USDA organic standards, fair trade standards. And really just the agroforestry standards that had been created, we could actually create a really positive force for good and for change in the Amazon rainforest. So that's what we set out to do. And SEMAZON actually is an acronym for sustainable management of the Brazilian Amazon. So at 25 years young, that's what we set out to do.
Wow. So did you develop with the farmers a way to go in to heart? I mean, how do they get them from are farmers still climbing up these tall trees, or is there a system you developed to not damage the environment around them? I mean, I'm so curious how it works.
Yeah, no, they're absolutely climbing trees.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Well, maybe we can get a graphic of that for you guys to see. It's truly exceptional. People go, oh my gosh. And they have to climb that. And, anyways, it's quite impressive. But it's not like we taught them how to climb a tree or anything like that. These are people who have lived in the native forest for many years. They know every tree. All we help to do was create a little bit of systems management and share best practices among the different farmers. Because while it is wild harvested, that means that you don't really have from one community to the other, or one side of the river to the other, you don't have the sharing of these best practices or things like that. So, you know, previous to SEMAZON, all of the farmers would collect the berries. And then they would sell the baskets of berries off to somebody with a boat. And then the boats would transfer them to maybe bigger boats. And then the product, the berries themselves, would end up at like a central depot, or like a, you know, almost like a fair, a market, you know. And at that market is where, you know, guys that own factories would purchase the berries, and then they would go process them, and then the chain would continue. But what that represented was a little bit of a lack of chain of custody. It didn't provide. So here I was trying to buy acai berries from a guy that has a factory that could make them. But when I inquired where I could get the berries, or where it came from, which farm it came from, the conditions on the farm, the organic practices on the farm, that was a big question mark. The person who was at that factory, they couldn't answer where the product came from, because there was this big system of middlemen of where it came from. So our great invention, which is not a great invention, but it was definitely about a lot of work, was to say, we're going to actually go directly to the growers, to the farmers, and we're going to start building a relationship there. And we're going to bypass sort of this whole system of middlemen, and we're going to start a relationship. You know, we're going to start working with these guys, talking with these guys, training them, giving them documentation, giving them planning. So it wasn't just, hey, what's somebody going to buy today? Or what are they not going to buy? We would go in, we've gone in and we've created an annual plan with them, so they know how much product they're going to need to harvest and to sell and things like that. And all of that, while it may seem simple, that actually provides, that planning provides financial freedom for these people which allows them to live a better life and a happier life, and, you know, help them become a little bit more sophisticated with, you know, with business and things like that. So it's been an amazing relationship between Sambazon and our growers that is now about 30,000 people strong in the Amazon rainforest.
Wow. Wow. 30,000 people. And have you had to learn Portuguese, Ryan, to communicate with them? Or do you actually have bilingual staff?
I speak fluent Portuguese.
Oh, wow.
And I also have a staff who, you know, we have 100 and almost 150 employees in Brazil, and we have for over 10 years. Every single one of them is Brazilian. And then we have a lot of people on our staff here in the US and around the world who are actually either Brazilians or speak Portuguese.
Wow. Well, so again, is amazing. Is it still all wild crafted, or are you guys planting little baby acai trees all around?
No, it's still wild harvested. And that's something I continue to push, because we want to prove that a wild harvested sustainable development model in the Amazon works for acai, so that it it is working, and it's created opportunities where once you had, you know, a lot of people leaving the forest to go to the big cities to look for work and for job, actually created something where people are returning to the forest, you know.
Oh, wow.
The forest. It's called rural exodus, and it's acai, you know, wild harvesting acai is actually something that has returned and prevented rural exodus. So there's a lot of positive energy that goes into this, you know, Sambazon acai product, even before you get to the nutritional benefits and the amazing, you know, flavor, which I'm excited to talk about as well.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love how you guys are conducting the business, and we can feel good about supporting what you're doing and knowing that you're helping to protect the forest and supporting these farmers. It's just wonderful. Thank you. On top of it, the acai has this wonderful flavor, which I have paired with everything from cacao. I think it pairs really well with chocolate, and I've used it. We talked about here in the beauty detox community, using it in our power protein smoothies, which is a beauty detox staple, because it has the healthy fats. It does. We practice what we call beauty food pairing or proper food combining. It pairs with proteins. It pairs with other fruits. I mean, it's just a really neutral fruit that I feel accentuates different flavors, if that makes sense. You can go chocolate, or sometimes I pair it with strawberries. Sometimes I just have it like I originally had it, with coconut water, which is really refreshing, really simple. I'd be interested to hear, Ryan, your favorite ways of having acai, since you've been having it now for years, and you probably have your own recipes that are your favorite.
I do. I love it. It's really it's interesting, because it's not that sweet. I mean, when you sweeten it a little bit, it's not a really, you know, sweet flavor. So it pairs with, you know, peanut butter and coconut. Yeah. And coffee, you know, and then of course it pairs with, you know, banana and mango and strawberry and blueberry and lots of amazing stuff like that. So it's really nice. And I've seen chefs put it on, you know, make coulis and tapenade, kinds of fun stuff with sauces, even with meat. I'm a vegetarian, but it pairs well with all kinds of different meats and hearty dishes as well. It's super versatile because of the fats that are in acai. One of those little frozen packets I thought would be like the base of every smoothie going forward, because what else are you going to put in your smoothie that's going to give you the healthy fats, you know? I mean, yeah, you could put something like an avocado or whatever, but if you're talking about like frozen fruit, you know, a pack of acai in there, it almost doesn't matter what else you put in there. You put everything else you put in there, you put in what you like the flavor of or something like that. It's like, I believe that it was going to be the base of smoothies moving forward. And that's kind of what it's happening in this country.
Yeah, for me, I'm definitely more of a smoothie person. I love the idea of bowls, and we have the acai bowls at my shop, Glow Bio. But, as a busy mom, I'm working full time, I actually have it right next to me. I've got my acai in my power protein, and I just feel like smoothies, you could pick them up. You could have them when you're driving. You could have them on the go. You don't have to worry about chewing. So we talk about, I have these blogs. We talk about a lot in the community, Ryan, emergency foods and ways to really set yourself up for success. And as we get busy, we don't always have time to go to the farmer's market or go shopping. If you really stock a couple things in your home that you could always fall back on, then you can really go forward and maintain a level of health. And one of the easiest ways is to keep the acai packets in your freezer, because when you are in a bind, as we all get into, you can just throw them in your blender with some coconut water or almond milk or whatever your base is, blend it up, and you have a really nutrient dense, beautifying and health promoting drink without having to resort to a bag of chips or, really crappy takeout. It's just a great long-term thing to always have in your freezer. If you opened up my freezer right now, you'd see there's like 80 packets in there. So I don't have to worry about running out.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you can even eat them like a popsicle. They're really good.
I never tried that.
And especially kids, they just love them. It's like healthy popsicles, it's great.
Well, I was going to say for moms, for children out there as well, Bubby, my son, just learned to suck through a straw. So I've been giving him lots of Glow and Green smoothie, and I'm going to start introducing the acai now, and some milky beverages, some versions of that, so he can start having those healthy fats, which are so great for his developing body and the antioxidants. So it's a really great food for children as well.
Yep. Babies love it.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much. And I love that you mentioned that you're vegetarian. I don't want to get off topic here, but since you love the rainforest, we've had a Kip and Keegan on here who had the documentary. I don't know if you've seen it. They produced Cowspiracy. And they talked about how 90% of the rainforest destruction is because of cattle raising and grazing. And it's really having an impact on deforestation worldwide. So. Yep.
It's a big deal. It's really, it's not even to me about whether, eating animals is right or not. I actually believe that it's not necessarily a bad thing. I just think that the way that our system and our government and our, everything is structured right now with the cattle industry, you can't really consider yourself an environmentalist and then be eating meat all the time because of the way it's all set up. So Cowspiracy is fantastic. I made my whole company watch it.
Oh, it's amazing. And they have a new documentary called What the Health, which also just came out, well, Ryan, thank you so much for being with us, everyone. Please check out the show notes. I'm going to link to some of my favorite acai recipes. You guys have heard me talk about them for years. Acai recipes are in all my books, and I have really only ever consumed Sampazan because it's organic and because of their work with the farmers, and because by supporting them, we are supporting these amazing practices to protect the forest and to protect the people working there. So, Ryan, thank you for being such an amazing, just amazing person and conducting this business in such a wonderful way and allowing us to have access to this amazing beauty food.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here with you, Kimberly, and your listeners. It's refreshing to be with someone like you, Kimberly, who really cares and just does a great job for health for people in the United States. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much, Ryan. And I also want to mention quickly, I'm happy to see that it's not just in health food stores now. I've seen Sampazan in some, quote, regular grocery stores in the frozen section. So it seems to be really expanding, which is amazing.
Absolutely. It's growing.
It's everywhere. Antioxidants for everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Okay, beauties, it's time for our tip of the week. And here it is. Give someone an honest compliment. It's important that we lift each other up. And in the process, you will also lift yourself up as well. If you see someone with a great smile, personality, or energy, be sure to tell them. You will be surprised at how far a compliment can go. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.